All right, welcome members. You're listening to the Crez Files podcast. It's Tuesday night, the 11th, here in Sydney, Australia. Just plugging in for the nightly news wrap with Adam to cover all the latest and whatever is in front of me in these absolutely insane times. So I hope everyone's doing fine out there, all the members. And continuing forward, it's very difficult times, man. So wherever you guys are, I hope you're doing fine, and thank you for all your support and plugging in and listening to the podcast and enjoying them and going on the website and being here with me through these years. It's really great to have you guys on board as we move forward here together, and we learn a lot, don't we, as we go on. It was funny. Last night, when I finished the podcast, and I was posting it up, this Apple advertisement came on the TV, which I found really interesting, and I didn't want to forget to play it. And I've shown a couple of people this one, and they probably just think I'm nuts or don't understand what I'm trying to say there. But I watched this ad on TV last night, and I thought it was interesting, and I'll play it for you now, if I've got it up here. It was basically an Apple Watch advertisement for Series 7. That's the Apple Watch that a lot of people wear, especially active people. And let's turn myself up here a little bit. My headphones, and that came on last night when I finished the podcast, and I was like, wow, this is so weird. Anyway, I'll play the ad for you now, just in case you haven't heard it. This is for the Apple Watch Series 7.
The owner of this Apple Watch has taken a hard fall and is not responding to their watch. The emergency location is latitude 47.7. Longitude minus 117.5 with an estimated search radius of 41 meters. This message will repeat in 5 seconds.
There was the advertisement for the new Apple Watch Series 7. And I found that really, really interesting. That's all. That it's saying that someone's had a fall or an accident, and it's basically putting out this beacon. You know, it's like if someone's buried or whatever, you know, they put out these kinds of things, these beacon sounds, and they can find out their exact location. I just find this strange. I'm wondering, you know, so many people who would wear these Fitbits and these kinds of devices are joggers and people who are doing trekking and walking, maybe in remote areas, especially these Apple Watches. So they've got some kind of contact with the world. But I'm guessing a lot of vaccinated fit people are going to be wearing those, right? And now they've got these advertisements showing these, you know, people who are going to basically collapse or have some kind of accident when they're in a remote area or away from, you know, a main center or town or something like that, and it's putting out this beacon, you know, I guess for the authorities or medical people to come in. You know, it's just weird because it's happening all over. It's happening all over. People are just falling down when they're doing any kind of strenuous exercise. I'm already seeing it today, actually, on social media and even on Twitter and those ones. I'm actually seeing, you know, this, it's the summer of tennis, so we've got this whole Novak Djokovic drama in Melbourne. But there's a lot of players doing different tournaments around, and I'm watching a whole bunch of them having to pull out. I don't know if you guys saw that. There was a bunch. There was a couple that I put up where they're just retiring, and the coaches are sitting there stumped. They don't understand what's wrong with a player. And I saw this one guy who just couldn't get his breath, and he was just holding his chest. People are going down because of these clot shots that they've been given. This is what we've been saying. And they're getting micro blood clotting in their capillary networks, and it's affecting their heart. And when they're exerting themselves and doing these sports, they're starting to, you know, clench their chests and all of this. I was just looking at this death of actor and comedian Bob Saget. He died mysteriously on Sunday at the age of 65. And I think he's a Jewish guy, like an actor in the US or something, or a comedian. And he was discovered in a bed in Orlando hotel room after his family said that they had not heard from him, according to a report by the sheriff's office. And I just picked this up on Twitter, I think, and it was just interesting because the lady highlighted this. The sheriff's office arrived at his hotel room at the Ritz-Carlton Orlando Grand Lakes just after 4 p.m. Sunday and found Saget lying on his back in bed, and she's highlighted this in red. His left arm was across his chest while his right arm was resting on the bed. No signs of trauma were seen. That was just interesting. Here you have a guy who's just suddenly dropped dead in a hotel room with his hands on his chest. This is the thing, isn't it? And we're seeing it with the sports stars, the athletes, you know, soccer players. They're just falling over. All sorts of people are just falling over. I just find it incredible, you know. And I think that's really interesting that you're seeing those kinds of ads now, that people are going to be wearing these new Apple Watches, and just in case you fall over or something happens to you, it's going to send out some kind of signal to show your exact location. Is this what they're expecting? I mean, this is very troubling. It's like that movie, The Happening, with Mark Wahlberg. You've seen that. I think I mentioned it before, with these cities of people just dropping. It's like in The Matrix, right? You know, when they unplug them, when that guy, Cypher, he gets back onto the ship and he starts unplugging them, and they're in The Matrix and they're just falling down like a doll on the floor, you know? It's really creepy to think this, isn't it? That people are just going to start falling over everywhere. I had a really interesting day today as well. You remember I was talking about a really nice German family that I know that are double vaxxed, and they went away for Christmas and they stayed with a friend who got tested positive for COVID, and then they had to come back and they ruined their Christmas holidays. This same lady who's double vaccinated with the COVID shots, the Pfizer ones, I just ran into her today, and they're going away again, but she's tested positive for COVID again. And I saw her, and she's double vaxxed, she's tested positive for COVID, and she was wearing two masks, and she said she's been sick. And look, you know, I just know of these folks, but It's really incredible, isn't it? And I've run into a couple of people like this, and it was just amazing the belief they have in COVID. They really, really believe it, that it's a real virus. You know, it's everywhere, they say, and you've got to be so careful now and everything. But it was amazing to meet this lovely person that I know. I don't see them too much, but it was just amazing to meet this lovely person who's double jabbed, has two masks on, is testing positive for COVID, and has been sick. And even when she gets sicker and ends up in hospital on ventilators and dies, they still won't know what happened. They'll stay, because it will be blamed on COVID. And that's really the saddest part of all this to me. That people, there was nothing wrong with them originally. They were scared into believing that there was a virus. They got injected with this terrible venom, and now they're becoming sick, and they don't know why. And so, you know, it's really crazy to think that I'm here, I've never worn a mask, I don't QR code, I don't do any of it, and these people are double jabbed, double masked, paranoid, they're testing positive for COVID all the time. And the way that these people speak is really amazing. They really, really believe in this virus so much, to the point where it petrifies them. And this is still happening in January 2022. It's really quite stunning. It was just amazing experience today to run into this person anyway, and I have to protect their privacy and everything, and everything, and I'm sure you guys go through it, but it was just it was really astonishing to see a person who's had two doses of Pfizer, who has two masks on, who's testing positive for COVID. It's just like, what the hell are you doing? You are going down and down and down in such a downward spiral, and you just don't even understand why. She didn't really appear very well to me, and she said she's had a shocking flu, and they've told her it's COVID, which it's not, but they just can't put two and two together. It's really sad, isn't it? It is really sad, because they're good people, but they're just so gullible, you know, they're so gullible. And again, the thing that really strikes me very hot is that the belief that they have in this fake virus. They believe it so much. And I said to her, you can cough all over me, I don't care. And she was so horrified. So horrified. I've actually had people say that to me. Why don't you go to one of these COVID wards? And I'm like, what COVID wards? There's no one in them. And I said, if you can conjure up a COVID ward with all these zombie-like people in there sick and falling over on the floors and the nurses crying out for help, then I will go in there and gladly be amongst these so-called COVID patients. I'll even give them a big kiss, and I guarantee you I don't get anything because it isn't real. It's all in your mind, my friend. But they believe it so much. It's an astonishing, incredible thing to witness. I think one of the, you know, a lot of these articles are pretty big and too hard for me to go through. One of the members posted this today, I think, on the website in the chat room. Steve Kirsch's newsletter, How to Verify for Yourself that Over 150,000 Americans Have Been Killed by the COVID Injections or Vaccines. Steve Bannon asked me to step you through it. I'll do that and tell you how this is validated using independent methods, and also why Vaers was deliberately set up to make all vaccines look safe. URF equals Vaers, underreporting factor. This is the ratio, events that actually happen, events reported in Vaers. So if Vaers has 10 events and the URF equals 41, then it means 410 events are likely to have happened. So underreporting from the Vaers system, but only 10 events were reported to Vaers. So that's a pretty interesting system to set up, isn't it? Setting up a vaccine injury compensation program or system where you're only reporting a small percentage of the actual injuries, and then you know kind of cover the rest. It's insidious, isn't it? And I'll put these links up anyway, because there's a lot of data here and everything. And they're talking about the... I'll put this in the link because there's just too much in, but you got to read this anyway. It was How to Verify for Yourself that Over 150,000 Americans Have Been Killed by the COVID Vaccines. I was going to go through this one, but it's too big, and I think you better read it. And it's talking about the... It gives you some information about Vaers, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, or the official system used by the US government to track adverse events from all vaccines. And it talks about all these incredible stats. And so I'll post that one. And the spike in adverse events, including deaths, and all of this, and all the numbers. It's a pretty incredible article. Thanks to the members for putting that up. So please have a look at this. And another one that came up that's been very popular, and I got this same article around the place. This one was from the Exposé. Let me pull that up here. So Chief AstraZeneca. A scientist says annual COVID-19 vaccine booster jabs are unsustainable. Isn't this interesting? We're getting these Pfizer and executives and these people coming out now. It's a really interesting year, 2022, isn't it? Very interesting. As I keep saying that the vaccinated people are going to get double-crossed very badly soon as this works itself out, you know? And we're just going to hold on and hold the line. We're not getting that in our bodies. And no. And it's going to be interesting to see where this goes, right? The scientist behind the AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine has voiced his concerns about the booster jabs, Dr. Andrew Pollard. I kind of think these fucking idiots are just trying to cover their asses, you know. He also chairs the UK's Joint Committee on Vaccination and Immunisation, said that it was unsustainable to vaccinate people with boosters twice a year. In an interview with The Telegraph, Pollard said that injecting people with booster shots every 4 to 6 months is unsustainable. He said, we can't vaccinate the planet every 4 to 6 months. It's not sustainable or affordable. Your goal with boosters is to stop all infections. That is wrong. Pollard said that vaccine rollout should target the vulnerable instead of boosting entire populations. The future must focus on the vulnerable and make boosters or treatments available to them in order to protect them, he added. Additionally, the scientist who is from the University of Oxford said that additional booster vaccines beyond the third should be put on hold unless there is strong evidence that they are required. He commented on the issue of a fourth vaccine as other countries have forced them onto the masses. And all of this. The AstraZeneca vaccine has, of course, been linked to blood clots and other very severe adverse reactions, resulting in some countries temporarily halting the use of this jab. In the same interview, Pollard added that he is not a huge fan of compulsory vaccination. He instead suggested that clear information is a better way to convince people to get vaccinated. Compulsory vaccination would make more sense in some Eastern European countries where a quarter of the population is vaccinated, he said. So he's playing both sides, this fuckwit. The scientist has classified unvaccinated people into three groups: those unable to physically access clinics, those who are hesitant, and those who are anti-vax. Well, I guess that's me, folks, and the listeners. I'm anti-vax, so I'm a terrorist, right? He thinks that the relatively small and young second group could benefit from a conversation with community leaders or a trusted person such as a GP to change your mind and re-educate you and get a jab in your arm. Pollard said that the staunch anti-vaccination groups may hold unshakable views and may be harder to impact, so we have to arrest them, right, and take them off to camps. He added that he is troubled by the supposed misinformation spread by people who belong to this group, not by him and his disgusting buddies in the pharmaceutical corporations, though. That's okay, in the mainstream media, they're fine. They don't spread misinformation, anti-vaxxers do. Misinformation risks lives. It's highly likely that people became seriously ill and died because of a vaccine misinformation, but it's not highly likely that people have died from your fucking vaccines, you cunt. So what a piece of shit this guy is. Very interesting. They're just coming out now to save their asses. They're trying to cover their asses. But that's a very interesting article, because what this dickhead is doing now, and what we've always said here on the podcast, is he's now saying, what have I been saying on this podcast since day one? They're going to take these COVID jabs off the table and they're going to replace them with something else. We've been saying that. And now the language is starting to rear its ugly head and they're starting to say, well, we can't just jab people 2-3 times a year for the rest of their lives. They're not pin cushions for pharmaceutical corporations, so what else can we do? What a scam artist. So this leads into another article that is very interesting that I pulled up today. I'll just let that load. Have some gin. Cheers, folks. Okay. This is very interesting. Because I've mentioned this a lot of times. This is from Natural News. Remember when the FDA approved pharmaceutical pills with digital sensors to track patients' compliance with drug intake? This is a good article, folks. Back in 2012, the US Food and Drug Administration approved an ingestible sensor technology that tracks when its patients are taking their medications. Now, there are concerns that this same drug implants might be used in Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vaccines to track and trace the jabbed. Digital tracking sensors have already been approved for use in the anti-psychotic drug Ability, which is used to treat major psychiatric diseases such as schizophrenia and bipolar-driven mania, a press release has stated. The system works by sending a message from the pill sensor to a wearable patch. The patch transmits the information to a mobile application so that patients can track the ingestion of the medication on their smartphones. Patients can also permit their caregivers and physician to access the information through a web-based portal. It is Orwellian, to say the least, much like the implantable microchips being talked about for storing people's 4-key flu shot status right in their hands. Digital sensor technology allows Big Brother to keep tabs on the human herd to ensure compliance with the dictates, but thinking that someone's going to put a microchip under your skin is also, quite probably in my books, a distraction for what's already been done, right? It's very obvious that the tracking devices or the microchips are in the COVID-19 inoculations, so you've already been hooked up to the system. The technology was developed under a guise of monitoring the mentally ill to ensure that they take their prescriptions on time to avoid a psychotic episode. However, it has the potential to be used for many other applications. It is hardly contentious to use medicine to ensure that individuals who may be a hazard to oneself or others are cared for properly, reports Great Game India. Those opposed to existing COVID-19 vaccine regulations, on the other hand, will be concerned about whatever technology that could aid in the continuation of medical dictatorship. So Yale University epidemiologist Dr. Harvey Risch said repeatedly that the pandemic was manufactured and used as a weapon to promote fear. So that's pretty good for that doctor, isn't it? It's a pandemic and it's all been manufactured and they're using fear as a weapon, really, to get people to submit. Their fear was then used to push vaccine mandates, of course. We know that. But there was nothing ever wrong with people in the beginning. They scared you into thinking that you were going to get a flu. Not you and I, just people, like I spoke about before. And then they went and got the injection, and this is where all their problems are starting. That is, some areas are now being coupled with vaccine passport schemes, with the independent Irish financial investor Melissa Quemai says will be used to control people's lives and funnel the masses into a global social credit scheme. They're talking here about killing off large proportions of the population without, you know, but they're doing it in pockets so people don't become suspicious that they're being poisoned or those around them are being poisoned. And I met people today, as I said, they've got no clue. So it's done in a way, you know, where that maybe that one person out of 10 or 20 or 50 or 100 are getting affected. And then people around them, I'm fine. Are you? Anyway, that was interesting, wasn't it? These are microchip-laced pharmaceuticals. Now, many people are suggesting that the clot shots themselves are the mark of the beast. Whether you get a microchip implanted under your skin or not, that's what I'm saying. So they've brought that up in this article, The Mark of the Beast. And so that's what I think. You already got it if you've had the jabs. But isn't it interesting, this kind of pharmaceutical pills with digital sensors to track patients. Now, is this where they're heading? Basically, pill microchips, which have nothing to do with any fake virus, but they're going to tell you it's for COVID, right? This would be an interesting one, because you're not taking a jab anymore, like the guy was saying before. You know, you're not taking vaccines and boosters every few months or whatever. Maybe you just take a couple of these pills a year or whatever they're going to develop, you know. Might be just once a year, or who knows, could be every... I mean, I'm inclined to think that people would be much more comfortable taking a pill, whether it's weekly, monthly, or three-monthly, or two times a year, or once a year, whatever the hell it's going to be, they're going to be more comfortable popping that pill than getting that those needles through the boosters every few months or whatever they want. So the boosters and the needles are the training into these capsules. I would strongly suggest that that's what's the that's what's going to come either this year or soon. It's definitely going to come, and that's why I said it's obvious with the language that they're using now, and people have been posting this all day, and it's going up on the Telegram channels, and we're seeing so much information. Even the heads of these pharmaceutical corporations and these other parasites, they're coming out and admitting now that their jabs probably are not working, and this is the language that we're starting to see, where I think they're going to take these inoculations off the table soon, and they're basically going to say, well, we're going to start with a clean slate, folks, and sorry, but those jabs that we gave you, you know, that was the best we had at the time, but now you got to take these pills. So I would strongly suggest that the pills are coming next, and but the dummies will love it. They'll take their pills. God knows how much they'll cost too. I mean, I'd say they'd be few and far in between, so they'd be small packs, and you would get them either a couple of times a year, whatever it is, but everyone would be carrying around and taking their smart pills, right? With the ingestible sensors and nanotechnology in them, which will deliver the same graphene oxide and same technology tech as the jabs do, but I think they're refining this. But I think the idea behind it and the technology and all the stuff that they're coming up with, I think it's all ready to go. They already had it. This could have all been in the works for decades. Interesting. Another one, take from it what you will. It's quite frightening, really, to even read this out, but it has to be talked about. Another one from Natural News that I saved as well on the back of that one. They are taking the vaccine wars kinetic. COVID concentration camps activated in America. Unvaxxed will be kidnapped at gunpoint by left-wing health officers with arrest powers. Democrats in Washington state are now pushing a bill, WAC 246-100, which would authorize health officers, Democrat vaccine Gestapo, to kidnap anyone at gunpoint and throw them into COVID concentration camps, which have already been activated. The people targeted under this tyrannical rule need to not even show any signs of sickness or infection, to be ripped from their homes and families. Democrat-run medical goons can simply look at people and declare that you're sick, and you you can be taken away at gunpoint to be incarcerated in concentration camps, which are already running, and there's a link there. From Newspunch, yesterday, Democrats file new bill authorizing strike force to imprison unjabbed families. Our internment camps are ready. Democrats in Washington state have introduced a new bill that will authorize the detainment of residents as young as 5 years old in COVID concentration centers or camps for failing to comply with the state's vaccine mandates. If passed, the WAC, WAC 246-100 bill will allow local health officers at his other sole discretion to issue an emergency detention order causing a person or group of persons to be immediately detained for purposes of isolation or quarantine. In essence, a Democrat governor, Inslee, who did nothing to stop the Chaz seeing of downtown Seattle and who is clearly working for the radical Marxist left, is going to launch strike force teams to round up the unvaccinated and exterminate them in death camps. You may recall that White House spokesman Psaki openly spoke about strike force operations back in July 21. We covered it in an article entitled "White House Officially Announces Vaccine Strike Forces That Will Go Door to Door, Targeting Anti-Vaxxers in Their Homes, Forcing Americans to Take the Kill Shots." It's from the article. It's official. The White House has publicly and announced that the deployment of strike forces, a military term, to go door to door across America, targeting unvaccinated people in their homes. Very quickly, this program can be ramped up to full mandatory status, which means gunpoint enforcement of shots, essentially meaning the U.S. government is unleashing death squads across America. And there's a video of her saying it. Don't know. You think that's some fear-mongering, folks, or what do you think? You think that's coming? It's really hard to say, isn't it? I don't know. I'll just send that to myself anyway, so I've saved it. I'm not being forced as of yet, but I don't know where this is going to go and what's going to be the ultimate end game for these fucking maniacs, man. They're absolutely, obviously out of their minds. I'll just get the article up here anyway. See if I can play it for you. I don't know if you heard the video. This is the psycho with the red hair and the in the White House. Crazy people.
For COVID vaccines, is it 75%, 80%? What is that goal for the administration right now?
Well, Dr. Fauci has addressed this a number of times and has conveyed that herd immunity is kind of an outdated term. So we had set a goal of reaching 70% of adults by July 4th. We reached that goal of adults 27 and older by that date, and we're continuing to press to reach it, and we will in the next couple of weeks for adults over the age of 18. But our work doesn't stop there, and we are going to continue to press to get 12 to 18 year olds vaccinated, to continue to work with communities where there's lower vaccination rates. That's one of the reasons we initiated these strike forces, to go into communities and work with them to determine what they need, to take a localized, specific approach that works with elected officials in communities. But I don't have a new goal to set for you.
You know, I mean, again, we'd have to watch this. It could be just alternative media playing things up. But it is intensifying, you know, and we have to be very aware. This is, it's really crazy times, isn't it? That's in the US. I don't know what's going to happen here, folks. I don't know. You know, you kind of get that feeling this whole COVID vaccine thing is just a big experiment and then they're going to take it out, you know? But, I mean, it's silly to think that as well, that they're not going to continue here with something. I mean, I just don't understand how more, you know, we're not seeing more of the population just absolutely furious about these boosters, you know? And so looking at Australian news, this one's from the Daily Mail today. It's getting really serious in Western Australia. Unvaccinated Western Australians will be banned from the gym, restaurants and bars after psycho Mark McGowan, but he's also a gutless little pathetic coward, warned life is about to get very, very difficult for anyone, I guess, who refuses these clot shots in their arms. And he's got a long list of rules. He's warning the unvaccinated population in Western Australia, your life is going to get very difficult now. Mark McGowan has warned unvaccinated Western Australians they will be banned from pubs and restaurants, cafes, gyms, as the state starts to open up on February the 5th. He is announcing new restrictions for the state and the residents who refuse to get the clot shots. He has warned anti-vaxxers, life is going to get very difficult for you when the vaccine passport system launches. They won't be able to go to the football. They won't be able to work in a whole range of industries, Mr. McGowan said during a press conference. Well, go and shove your football and your industries up your fucking ass, you little fucking piece of shit. Because I'm hoping and I have faith that your day is going to come. I really hope. And if it doesn't in this life, it's got to come at some point, you disgusting, ass-licking little parasite. Disgusting. Disgusting. We're not getting your jabs, mate, so you can stick them up your ass, you little pathetic weasel. We need the people in mass to fight back here, and it's going to be a fight, and this is going to get ugly. I feel it's going to get ugly, folks, but hey, what can you do? You know, we can't win by being nice. It ain't going to work. These parasites are going for the throat. They're going after our kids. They're destroying people's lives. They have no souls. They are just horrible, horrible people. This guy is disgusting. He's really stepping forward. He's really stepping forward, this guy. If you remember my podcast last year, there was one, I think, with Donna, and she was quite shocked that I said this McGowan guy in Western Australia is going to be a really, probably our worst dictator in this country. He's really going to step forward and start shining his brutality and nastiness. She was quite shocked, but look at this. Maybe I was right there. Yeah, so he's saying you won't be able to go to concerts, restaurants, bars, cafes, pubs, fitness centers, gyms. All these things are going to be off the table for you. But guess what? Western Australia recorded 3 new COVID cases on Monday. 3. 3. And this is being mirrored across the country, folks. He says life's about to get very difficult for you. So basically, you better do what I tell you and go out and get your jab in your arm. And there's a whole bunch of people here happy to get their jabs and keep their jobs. But as I said, you don't negotiate with terrorists, and he's a terrorist. He's a domestic terrorist, and you don't do deals with the devil. You don't want to give up your soul, folks. He's going for the 90% vaccination rate. He's saying that the intensive care units are filled with unvaccinated people. He says the unvaccinated might be able to work in some limited industries and they'll be able to go to the supermarket and get some essential supplies. But most things we take for granted and the things that we enjoy, well, you're not going to be able to get access to any of that if you're not vaccinated, he says. And this is all done to protect the lives of those people around you that want to do the right thing. You mean the people who are getting injected with your fucking poisons and are now suffering and starting to get sick and die and fill up the hospitals, and that the unvaccinated people are the only healthy ones left, you fucking fuckwit? He's pushing rapid antigen tests, I guess, for everybody to prove anyway, you know, that you don't have this. And these tests, as we said the other night, are called rats. So really sick, isn't it? It makes me sick to even read this stuff, and it hurts my stomach, but it's just, it's unbelievable. There's not much positive stuff to come out of here, but, you know, what I will say is that, in Perth and Western Australia, they're doing incredible work, and it's fantastic to see. All sorts of people from every industry that you can imagine are firing up there, and the protests are getting bigger. And you know what? I look at this disgusting, decrepit mongrel, and I just think he's desperate. He's desperate and he's lashing out. So hopefully this just makes everybody angry. Because these filthy tyrants have got to go, and they've got to go this year. I don't want to go into 2023 still looking at that bastard's face. We've got to get rid of them, folks. God, we're in for the fight of our lives in Australia. Here's another one from the Daily Mail. Daniel Andrews demands thousands of Victorian workers get COVID boosters in just weeks or face being sacked in dramatic expansion of vaccine mandates. And was reading that in other articles today. So he's just double-crossed every worker in Victoria and stabbed them in the backs. He's demanding thousands of workers get booster shots within just a couple of weeks, or you're going to lose your job. And look at what this fuckwit is doing to the world's number one tennis player right now. This is really weird with this Novak, because apparently he won the court case and he went to return to practice, do some hit outs. And then I saw a video today, which I posted and people were putting on Telegram, where these police have arrested him again. They put him in a black car and he's going through the city and these massive crowds of protesters. There's a massive, it's going to explode there. So I don't know what they're going to do with him and where he's gone. I don't know what's going on here. I mean, he won his court case. The judge was furious with it. He threw it out. He was technically able to go and practice and get on with his life and go and play the Australian Open, but now, from what I've seen, he's been arrested in a black car and he's got a police escort and they're taking him somewhere. So where's he going now? So this is shocking. It just shows you where we're at in this country and what this government are doing. Andrews, Skocove, all of them, what they've done. I mean, the reputation of this country is just gone, isn't it? So Daniel Andrews is back. He's just issued a statement. Anyone who works in healthcare, aged care, disability, emergency services, or correctional facilities, quarantine, accommodation, hospitality, they have to get a third jab. I think in the future, if this guy is still alive and he ends up in a nursing home if he ends up in a nursing home himself, you just want to put a pillow over his fucking head, put him out of his misery. Employees will be required to show their boss a vaccine certificate to prove they had the mandatory booster. This is where we need massive civil disobedience. Everybody doing it, because if people start complying with this, you're a goner. You're already a goner. If you do this, you're fucked. He's really screwing you now. And he's having fun. He's enjoying it. He's up here. He looks like he's singing an opera. This guy loves punishing people. He just loves it. God knows what drugs and medications or what this guy's on. you know. He probably cops it up the anus as well. He says here, people who are not yet eligible for their booster shot will be forced to get it anyway within three months and 2 weeks after their second jab. This means people working in residential aged care workers must receive their third dose by March 1st, 1 March, and healthcare workers by 29th of March. Manufacturing, warehouse workers, transport staff, anyone who works in food distribution will be required to get the booster. But retail supermarket staff won't. People who work in food manufacturing, packing and distribution will also be exempt from close contact isolation rules in an attempt to avoid supply shortages. Wow. So now forcing people into a booster shot. He's also shutting nightclubs. Tomorrow, January the 12th, he's shutting nightclubs and those kinds of things down. Ruin their lives. He says that you can still dance at weddings. But only if it's indoor. Residents at aged care facilities will only be allowed 5 visitors a day while they lock the world off and kill elderly people in these nursing homes. But you have to return a negative RAT test on entry. I was asked this today for something I had to do, and I told them to go and get stuffed. If people looking to see a loved one in a hospital must have received 2 doses of the vaccine or must return a negative RAT result before entering. See where this is going, folks? You're going to have to take a RAT test just to get up in your own bed in the morning, make a cup of coffee and put a piece of toast in the toaster. You're going to have to, you know what I mean? This is, people just can't understand where this is going. They just don't understand where this is going, you know. This is going to completely control people's lives. You will not be able to get a damn single thing done without these tests, I'm telling you. And if you don't get the tests and you don't get the jabs, they'll come to your door and they'll treat you like you are a suspect and they'll arrest you. It's all in those movies. Jason was mentioning one. Songbird. Boy, man. So this is 2 and 3 states, including Northern Territory and Queensland. This is just getting horrifying, what they're doing. I mean, they're not backing off, are they? This was an interesting article I kept the other day from Principia Scientific International, and the heading is "Hospitalized with COVID, you can check in but you can never leave." In a stunning video interview with a doctor treating COVID-19 patients, the Desert Review uncovers the secrets health officials and hospitals aren't telling, and that is that they are being held hostage and segregated from loved ones, as the reason is money. COVID patients in America's hospitals today are actually being treated worse than prisoners in American jails, Dr. Elizabeth Lee Villette says, the very structure of how hospitals are reimbursed for COVID patients is what's causing this. She says, the hospitals are paid by the government to do a PCR test on every patient who walks in the door. Then they are paid extra for a COVID admission to the hospital. They are paid an extra 20% bonus on the entire hospital bill. If the hospital only uses remdesivir to treat the patient, And then if the patient goes on a ventilator, which is a consequence of some of the toxicity of remdesivir. Am I saying that right? Remdesivir. And the restriction of fluids and nutrients that they are also doing. And once the patient is on a ventilator, there is another incentive bonus to the hospitals. If the patient dies in the hospital, there is another incentive payment. And so I'll put that link up. There's an hour or so video on all of this. So they're just making money off this. It's really disgusting, eh? So this is what the hospitals are becoming. It's really sick and sad, isn't it? Really, really, really sick and sad. It's just, boy, what are we becoming? It's just terrible, folks. We are in really, really sad times when you read something out like that, aren't you? You know? The last one I wanted to read tonight, which I posted on the website, and I'll just quickly mention it. It was, "We must never forget Victoria's 2 months of brutal medical tyranny." That was from the Cauldron Pool. "We must never forget what happened. We must frequently remind ourselves of the terrible cruelty that a government, and Andrews and his government and Sutton and these people, which has become, where they've become drunk with power and what they're capable of, and inflicting upon the people. With no robust scientific basis, even in a so-called liberal democracy, we must remember how fragile basic freedoms are and how easily civil liberties can be just crushed. So in the COVID tyranny stakes, few people dispute the fact that the state of Victoria comes in at top spot, our capital city, Melbourne. I think there's a documentary on the fall of Victoria or Melbourne, with people going through the process of this that's going to come out soon or is out. The destruction of one of the most livable cities in the world. And so Melbourne earned the distinction of being the world's most lockdown city, having endured 262 days of hard lockdown in 2020 and 2021, during which residents could only leave their homes for 1 or 2 hours per day within 5 kilometre radius for one of four reasons: exercise, work, caregiving and grocery shopping. But that's all sinking down, isn't disappearing to just getting a jab now. You won't be able to go out of your house unless you get jabbed. And if you still refuse to do that, they're just going to come and take you out of your house. So Melbourne was once known as the world's most livable city, has developed global notoriety as a place where 1,600 dollar fines are issued to teenagers having driving lessons. Elderly women are pepper sprayed and beaten. Pregnant mums in pajamas are arrested in front of their children. Frail and disabled people are harassed by police for taking a break while walking. People are prohibited from removing their masks and have a drink outdoors. Unarmed protesters are fired upon and beaten by lines of riot police. Armoured vehicles are used to enforce stay-at-home orders. Police conduct assaults in food markets and heads are smashed into the ground at train stations. They're doing that today, as I said, folks, because Novak Djokovic, the tennis player, has been taken in a black vehicle by police escorts, and no one knows what's going on. So the protesters were pepper sprayed by these goons of doom. Goons of doom. Daniel Andrews' goons of doom are back out again today, spraying people in the face with pepper spray. And now Victoria, through Andrews, is implementing an extreme, irrational, mandatory vaccination regime, never seen in this country before. That's unbelievable. And the Victorian government announced the beginning of October 2021 that all workers and volunteers in every industry would need to be fully vaccinated with one of the novel gene-based COVID-19 vaccines in order to even stay in employment. This was more extreme than other states. This is everybody, even farmers, repairmen, artists, musicians, sportsmen, factory workers, personal trainers, retail workers, car mechanics, journalists, volunteer firefighters, even clergy and self-employed people. From November 2021, it became virtually impossible for a non-double vaccinated person aged 16 and over to even get a job or earn a living in Victoria by any means unless he or she was lucky enough to be able to work from home, but they're going to go after that soon. But even these draconian worker mandates were not satisfactory. As far as the Victorian government were concerned, those who refused to submit themselves or their children to the government's demands were deserving of still harsher punishment. And besides, what of retirees, stay-at-home parents and children under 16 who would be unaffected by the worker mandates? How would the government coerce and compel people in these categories? As it turns out, the government found a way from late October 2021 when Victoria's sixth lockdown came to an end. Every Victorian aged 12 and above became subject to brutal state-imposed system of apartheid that blocked unvaccinated people from returning to society. If you were a Victorian age 12 and above and for whatever reason chose not to have two doses of gene-based COVID-19 vaccine, you were then unable to do any of the following. Sit down in a restaurant or cafe, have a haircut, attend a concert including end-of-year school concerts and graduation events, enter a clothing store, bookshop, hardware store or any other retail business considered non-essential, attend a public indoor swimming pool or gym, attend a church or religious service with more than 20 people present, attend a funeral or wedding with more than 30 people present even if outdoors. As soon as the rules came into effect for non-essential retail on November 19, large retail outlets including Kmart, Target, Meijer, Officeworks and Bunnings stationed marshals at every entrance whose job it was to block entry to anyone who could not produce a green tick on their smartphone. Many smaller local shops seemingly did not have the resources or will to enforce medical discrimination at the door. And unvaccinated people were still able to enter some of these stores after November 19 and make purchases. Nevertheless, any non-compliant business risked a $21,809 fine if caught allowing a leper to browse through their shops. Even religious charity-owned shops and op shops came under this classification, non-essential, and accordingly prevented unvaccinated people from entering to purchase clothing and all of this. So these are op shops like St. Vincent's de Paul and, you know, all these kinds of things where people can buy clothes if they don't have much money. With unvaccinated people, including even 12-year-olds, unable to even go to Kmart, op shops, or purchase clothing or shoes for themselves, it became something of a meme in Victoria that clothing is no longer essential. And now Daniel Andrews is forcing the boosters onto people. This harsh slavery of human beings. It's unbelievable. It's just getting worse. So that's the state of Victoria, folks. Wow, we're in the in for the fight of our lives. And so I just wanted to reinforce this, that if you go to countries around the world, no matter where you go, where countries have lived through harsh regimes and dictatorships, they understand because they've had to fight and people here haven't, but now they have and now they understand. So, you know, you go to countries where they've been through these, you know, terrible times and, you know, have put up with these dictators, they can recognize tyranny. And as soon as it happens, they go out and they fight. And this is what all Australians must do. And I myself, maybe some of the listeners are different, but I will never trust the Australian police forces again. I don't fucking care who they are. And I will never, ever have any respect for any of them ever. I will never trust them. I don't want them near me. I don't want to deal with them. I don't have any respect for any of them. They are done. They are done with me and many people I know. They are just done. All of them. All of them. I will never forgive them for what they have done to the Australian people. And I will never trust them again. Because as we've seen today, it's been okay down there. And now they're coming out and attacking people again. So, and it's just going to get worse. And as we do see some of the good cops go out the back door because they don't want to do this anymore, you'll just get more brutal thugs being brought into this system. It's a terrible display. So we the people must never forget what they did to us, the people, what they did to us in this country, in New South Wales, everywhere. They are disgusting. And no more trust, no more respect for any police in this country. I am done. I'm not sticking up for them anymore at all. I'm absolutely finished. If some of them want to come on the protesters' side or whatever, that's fine. But I'm done. Done. Brutal. Brutal. And it's just going to get worse until millions and millions of people stand up and stop this. It's just going to get worse. Great chatting with you tonight, guys, for the nightly news wrap-up. Great being here on board as we move forward here. And I'll be back tomorrow night in the podcast with author and researcher John Hamer.